Hi, my name is Julie Masters. We create thought leadership strategy and platforms for CEOs, executive teams, and industry leaders. The specific question I need assistance with today is, I have completed my avatar interviews. I would love some assistance in translating the feedback, which was very diverse, into some clarity on the offering. The specific question I want your brilliant ideas on today is, how much one-on-one time to offer as part of the mastermind experience? Working one-on-one is my natural comfort zone, and much of the feedback was, I would be paying for the access to you. However, the more access you provide, obviously the harder to scale it becomes. Extra information you may need for your context is, I'm terrible at keeping up with social media, so trying to shy away from a forum or private group that I need to check regularly. I know this would be great leverage. Open to addressing my blocks around this. So once again, the question is, how much one-on-one time to offer as part of her mastermind offering? So Julie's launching a mastermind. Working one-on-one is my natural comfort zone, and so much of the feedback was, I would be paying for the access to you. However, the more access you provide, obviously the harder to scale it becomes. All righty, I am seeing some hands go up. Chantel, you are first up.
What sort of scale are you hoping with the mastermind? Like, how many people are you, what would you like to have in it?
I'm hoping by the end of the year, 10. That's kind of my goal by the end of the year. And then 20 would be maybe the goal for next year. So 10 to 20, upper limits. I haven't really thought about that too much. I wouldn't want it to get too big, probably similar to this in a way.
Yep. Well, then my sort of feedback would be a little bit modelling off this. Like, one of the reasons that I guess I'm part of this mastermind is the direct access to Susie and Michelle. However, the one-on-one time is only twice a year in the strategy sessions, but I still feel like I buy the mastermind to have access to Susie and Michelle, even though I only get one-on-one time twice a year. I didn't see it as twice a year. I see it as direct access. So it doesn't need to be an ongoing thing.
Thank you. Thank you, Chantel. Amanda Farmer.
Plus one to Chantel. The direct access, I mean, I'm wondering if your clients have any concerns about confidentiality. I know mine do, so we don't do group calls. If they're fine with that, and you can do quarterly group calls, and that's a good way to educate everybody, connect with everybody, and they feel like they're getting that access without doing the one-on-one, and maybe the one-on-one is just twice a year. And you know, start as you intend to continue. If you don't like having a Facebook group where people get a bit wild constantly posting, and I have no idea how Susie and Michelle keep up with our group, a different kind of platform, whether it's, you know, email, you've got Fiona does this, I think, in her group, you've got a certain number of opportunities per year to book in. And if you keep it small, then everybody can have two or three turns a year of having that one-on-one with you, or a question time with you. I do a member call, which I actually then record and put it inside the membership. So while it's one-on-one, it becomes a resource that all other members can watch back anytime they want. But they're really hard to get, but I've got a very low value, high volume membership. So be confident about knowing what you don't want to do and stick to that, and you can set it up however you like.
Mm. I'm going to just plus one that there are a lot of hands here. I'm going to get to everyone because it has to be scalable. And so access to you is, they're going to have access to you through everything that's part of the offer, whether it's a Q&A call, whether it's a monthly training. And at the outside, they may not realize the value that they're going to get. But I think everyone here feels like they do have access to me and Michelle and to all the other masterminders, because what they also may not know is the value that the other people in the mastermind are going to bring. And so people do join this mastermind for me and Michelle, and because they want to make progress in marketing. But the more they're in there, the more they realize that there's so much gold in the people here. Now, we still have to take our position, but we have to do it in a way that's scalable. And even with two strategy sessions a year, there's 22 of you now, that's 44 hours of both our time. That's getting, you know, up there, right? That's a week spent doing strategy sessions, but it's still manageable. And we can still work that. So, someone said, I think it was Amanda, start as you intend to move forward. That's my advice. Kim, Bettina.
I was going to say along the same lines that the whole point about a mastermind, the definition of a mastermind, is that it's a group mentoring session. You use the advice and inputs, and you talk about problems and solutions through your peers and the group members. If that's not their scene, if that's not what they're into, they're not for your mastermind. The mastermind isn't about one-on-one access to you. So I think you can give bonuses like, you know, I think Susie and Michelle do it perfectly with the strategy sessions, but maybe it's more about educating the potential mastermind members about what a mastermind is and what it isn't.
Yes. Very, very good. Thank you, Kim. Awesome. Prue.
Hi. Great question, because I'm sort of been thinking all this stuff for my own things. And what I'm playing with is that so that I'm sort of testing the mastermind before I do, similar to what happens here, have a lower value one where they get no one-on-one time, but then they can book what I'm going to call, I mentioned it in my my intro this morning, the grant writer in your back pocket. So they can book in a bit like PJ's mentoring, and you would pay for a series of calls. You can only buy at least two, not just one. And so then if they want to talk something more personal, like it's your stuff, it's, you know, they don't want to share that in a group. And with mine, because it's funding and some of those groups could be applying for the same funds, I have the same issue. So that's what I'm going to do for a start. And then obviously you can only do that for so much, like Susie and Michelle. So that's just an option I'm looking at, that they book that in separately. So it's on top of the price they pay, but then you have a lower ticket price to start with.
Awesome. Thank you, Prue. Joanna.
Plus one to what everybody said, but I think also the reason why this mastermind works and the reason why we feel as though we've got constant direct access to Susie and Michelle is because the variety of ways we're able to ask questions. We've got the Facebook group, we've got the Friday check-in, we've got Q&As, we've got, you know, everything. Plus we've got the collective genius of the group. And as Kim said, if they're not wanting to have that collective conversation with people, then they're not your ideal client. They're a consulting client.
Mm, very good. Thank you. Bernadette, I'm coming to you, and then Michelle to you after Bernadette.
Okay, so this is something that I have struggled with quite a bit. And I do have people that, you know, really want more contact. And so what I have done is I have two levels, and the upper level is three times the price of the standard mastermind. And so if anyone absolutely wants to have that one-on-one, they just pay a lot for it. And I find that has been my way of dealing with it.
Love it. Perfect, perfect. Michelle. Did we lose Michelle? Oh, no. Oh, no, you're there. You just need to unmute, Michelle. Okay. Oh, there she is.
I'm sorry.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. I'm sorry.
There you are.
just it was perfect internet until I went to speak. Such great feedback already. So many things I could say about this, but a couple, just the highest level things I would say. One, I think when you're a hammer, you see everything as a nail. And so far you've been a hammer. You've been a one-to-one, work deeply, one-on-one, individually with people, or speak to a big broad group. And so this is going to take some recalibration of your brain. Don't trade the leverage of a mastermind and make it a quasi one-on-one coaching mentoring. You'll have a foot in both camps, and it'll be neither, and nobody will be satisfied. If you're going to do a mastermind, do a mastermind and really play to the beautiful, unique, powerful benefits of a mastermind, and work on your own sort of mindset and just the cogs. The cogs just have to reorganize in your brain. So that would be the first thing I would say. The second thing is, think strategically. So if the mountain, I know you've got other mountains. So if you want these people that come to your mastermind to buy another mountain, and you have a one-on-one consulting mountain, position that mountain in relation to mastermind. So, for example, when people came to the mastermind experience, that mountain, we positioned the mastermind mountain as this desirable mountain to go on if you're over here in this one. So think strategically about how you can sort of position your consulting mountain for the people in the mastermind as an optional thing. So it's kind of what Bernadette's doing. And but think about in terms of your mountain range. And the problem solution dance will play out there. So the problem that you solve at the mastermind level may not be solved at the mastermind level, but can be solved by the one-on-one level. So if you go and then release all that tension over here in the mastermind, knock yourself out trying to do one-on-one in a mastermind framework, they're never going to buy the one-on-one consulting. So be clear the game you're playing at each mountain and resist the urge. Tension is what causes people to move forward, and we have to be able to sustain that tension as well. So create the tension here in the mastermind if your game is to have some of them go over to your consulting mountain.
Thank you so much. I didn't hear, did we have the bell? We did have a bell. So just wrapping this up, just plus one to everything Michelle said. And I think that, you know, when you make the offer and you start to talk about what's included and the value and what a mastermind is and what a mastermind isn't, these are conversations Michelle and I have had every time we've opened up the mastermind, what it is, what it isn't, who it's for, who it's not for. Because if you want consulting, that's consulting. I do or I don't do that. But this is the power of the mastermind and really selling them on the idea. And it, for some people, they can't imagine how amazing a mastermind is until you tell them what it is. And they can't imagine the value they'll get from the rest of the people in the community until they get into a bubble like this and they have this amazing experience. And then there's nothing that they, you know, they wouldn't trade this for anything. But at the beginning, they might just see you. You're the goal. They just want access to you. They don't realize this amazing opportunity that you're going to open up for them. So very, very good. Comments, Julie's post link is in chat. It's the second one from the bottom. And so you could go ahead and add any further comments and questions there. Thank you, Julie. Great question. And this is the power of the mastermind. One person has asked a question, a bunch of us answer, but so many of us have something to take away. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. All righty. And the name of that case study copywriter is Amanda Paris. And she's a new member, haven't used her, so I can't speak firsthand about her experience, but she's getting lots of great love inside the group.